You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am Grant Goldberg, joined by Spike Friedman. This is an emergency Locked On Seahawks episode.
That's the sound of a European ambulance.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
But that's necessary because we weren't supposed to be recording. There's a reason why we're here today. And the reason actually expanded into different reasons because Daryl Bevel was fired by the Seahawks last night at around 11:30 p.m. Most of Seahawks Twitter was asleep by then, but
I certainly was.
Yeah, exactly. I was instantly thinking of, wow, this is gonna suck when Tom Cable's promoted to offensive coordinator. But we'll get into that, I'm sure, during the show. This is kind of an instant reaction show because while we're recording, news is sure to break because news has already broken from the time that I got on a Skype call to talk to Spike. Spike, is there anything else happening with the Seahawks coordinator situation?
The word is Chris Richard is potentially out in a Seinfeldian, it's not you, it's me sort of defensive coordinator situation where the word is that he needs to grow outside the organization, and so he's going to be allowed to pursue other opportunities, which is an interesting way of firing somebody. Also, our QB coach, Carl's gone.
Carl Smith. I think we joked about that on Twitter. We were just kidding, why not throw out Carl Smith as well? There was really, I can't see a blatant reason to, but it seems like they're just in clean house mode.
And it's interesting. Tom Cable's still with the team, which, again, as we've talked about on this podcast before, is ludicrous and unacceptable. He has a history of domestic violence. He has a history of workplace violence. He has been poor as the run games are. He has been poor as the offensive lines are. He is not... Look, the only thing you can say for him is that the team has been really good in the fourth quarter, and it has been said by people like Mike Robinson in the past that he is responsible for the team's halftime adjustments on offense. Okay, fine. The rest of that stuff still stands. He's got to go. Now, people are saying that most likely the offensive staff will be retained in order to be interviewed by a new offensive coordinator, and guys would likely be kept or let go at that point. So whether or not Cable is here for the long haul is still unclear. That said, he is still technically with the team.
Yeah, I said this earlier on Twitter. If you follow us, at Grant Goldberg, at Spike Friedman, at Lock Seahawks, but it's just that we didn't need Daryl Bevel to be fired. It's going to be a nice change depending on who they hire, obviously. But the offense needed a change, and that's fine and dandy, but he wasn't the one that needed to go. And there's a larger problem that still remains because, the blame shouldn't fall all the way at his feet. We've had success with Daryl Bevel, and, there's still, redeemable qualities about Daryl Bevel. As for Tom Cable, we listed the very few qualities that, he would even be on an NFL staff for, but we also listed the damning, evidence on Tom Cable.
It's too far. It's too much at this point. It's 2018. You can't have a guy on your staff who has that history. You can't.
And it's hard to celebrate a coordinator change that was needed until Tom Cable was officially out. And Bob Condotta is saying that he's far from assured to be back, but there's also, conflicting sources. I know they're not as close to the Seahawks as Condotta, but there's people saying that, Cable could be promoted, which is a scary, scary thought that I wouldn't wish on any team, let alone my favorite football team. And it'd be unforgivable for the Seahawks to keep Tom Cable, let alone promote him to offensive coordinator. You can't do that. I think.
Yeah, and I almost feel, and this is just totally rampant speculation, but you almost feel like Pete is loath to fire him because he knows he won't get hired somewhere else. You know what I mean? It's such like a death blow to his career because no one will hire someone with his history. That said, the fact that no one will hire someone with his history should tell you that you're doing something that is morally incorrect in keeping him. It's a mess.
It's terrible. Anyway, I think I also said this last night while everybody was asleep, but I feel like the Seahawks should at least be aware of the toxicity that would, you know, that promoting Cable would bring. I mean, the pushback from fans would be absolutely unbearable, I feel like.
I don't think they're going to promote. I mean, okay, so word is already coming out about potential candidates. Steve Sarkisian's name, the current offensive coordinator in Atlanta, former offensive coordinator at USC under Carroll, former head coach at UW and USC briefly. But that's already been shot down by Dan Quinn, as that would be a lateral move. Dan Quinn said Sark is not going anywhere. And I wasn't thrilled with the idea of Sark coming in, honestly. Right. Sark has done it. I mean, here's the thing, is that the Seahawks were terrible on third down this year, and Atlanta is the best in the league on third down. You know, so as much as Atlanta's offense has regressed under Sarkisian, coming from Kyle Shanahan's offense, they have been incredible at the thing the Seahawks most need to improve upon. That said, Sark, A, has a kind of toxic history in the Northwest, having sort of abandoned UW for USC. He has a history of addiction that, you know, you don't want to disqualify someone for a job for a thing. And he's worked under Saban. He's worked under Dan Quinn since and has done so, you know, with a certain level of success. But it's a big question mark at that coordinator position when, again, we're talking about a questionable past staff at that position. You know, man, just hire someone who doesn't have weird
demons.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, like maybe do that. And also, like, he's not coming. And yeah, also, like, you know, he wasn't able to activate the most dynamic parts of that Atlanta offense, which is Tevin Coleman in the passing game, Devontae Freeman, you know, using that two-headed running back monster. He wasn't able to do that really well.
Right.
He
was, and the Seahawks don't even have a one-headed monster at running back to activate that.
But clearly, whoever we're going to hire is going to be someone who can talk about how to activate the running game. You know what I mean? Like, that's where, in the fact that Pete Carroll in his end-of-year press conference was like, we need to reactivate the running game. You know, he was very enthusiastic about that need, which is why some of the names that are being floated out sort of randomly, like John DeFilippo, the QB coach out of Philadelphia.
Yeah,
who's considered, you know, Carson Wentz's guru, the sort of guy who everybody wants this year. He's a little older than like McVay and Shanahan are. He's in his mid to late 40s. He's been around.
He's 39. I checked last night.
Yeah. Is he 39? I thought he was like 40-something. No, 39. He's still pretty young. But he would be obviously a great choice for the passing game. I don't know whether he's – I don't know what he can do as a running coach.
Well,
he was
the offensive coordinator with Mike Pettine's Browns. And he kind of bounced nice around thing. A lot before landing with the Eagles in 2016. I think the biggest thing in terms of like DeFilippo still being out there is that the Bears hired a head coach already, and I think he was one of the hotter names for that position. So, you know, he's still out there, and it wouldn't be a lateral move; it'd be a promotion. So, if the Seahawks want to interview him, I'm sure they'll be able to.
Oh yeah, and I mean it's potentially a really appealing place to go, in that, you know, Russell Wilson's really good, and he's only had one offensive coordinator, so you can work from a solid base and then make your changes, make your adjusts, you know, bring in a whole new set of skills for Russ. Now, the question is, like, literally the question is height on this one. Like, DeFilippo is all about angles and creating some of those, like, slant combinations. You know, it is a little Shanahan-esque in the way that they run their offense in terms of freeing tight ends and, you know, getting lateral movement to open up passing lanes. Is Russell Wilson the right guy for a coordinator like that? I don't know. I don't know the answer, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be something that if we hire a name that still has something to prove, or a young, hungry guy, you know, it's going to remain to be seen till the season starts. And yeah. So, you know, it's going to be a long, long off season, and there's going to be a ton of speculation throughout the whole thing. And we're really just going to have to wait and see, you know, how this team meshes with the new coordinators, because, you know, it's probably not just going to be Daryl Bevel. I think now's a good time to take a break. We'll get right back to you with the rest of the show. More speculation, more reaction to what just happened last night. We are back with more Locked On Seahawks. This is the emergency Daryl Bevel was fired show. And Spike and I we finished talking about how, you know, we're gonna have to wait and see with a lot of these guys if they come to Seattle. And a couple names that Bob Condotta from the Seattle Times mentioned was T. Martin, USC's offensive coordinator, and Mike Shula, recently fired by the Carolina Panthers. Neither of which I've heard good things about. Spike, have you heard anything different?
I mean, T. Martin has a decent reputation. Obviously, Sam Darnold regressed a bit this year at USC, but he was considered a college offensive coordinator on the rise as recently as last year, the sort of guy who would be up for college head coaching jobs. I think his name was thrown into the hopper for the Tennessee job. Obviously, he's an alum of Tennessee. He's a national champion in a way that Peyton Manning never was, so take that, Peyton Manning. With Shula, I have heard mostly negative things, but that said, in terms of, again, talking about like where guys have background doing what, Shula's worked with Cam Newton over the last few years. Cam Newton, obviously, the league's other preeminent dual threat quarterback. And so he knows how to construct an offense around a dual threat quarterback. That said, the reason he was let go is because he doesn't know how to construct an offense around like sort of versatile running back pass catchers, sort of the new evolution of the NFL offense, which makes him, Shula feels like the most lateral possible move at the position in a lot of ways, which might not be the worst thing. Again, we were saying Daryl Bevel didn't need to be fired. If you make a lateral move there, you make a lateral move there, but like, doesn't feel ideal.
Yeah. The reason why I mentioned T. Martin and in a negative light is because, you know, living in Southern California, I follow a lot of people with LA sports interests, namely USC, and I just see just a bunch of frustration with in which he calls games, you know, really questionable play calling. But, you know, at the same time, it's a lot different personnel, it's a lot different game in the NFL in contrast to the college, to the collegiate level. So, yeah, it was a name that was floated out. I don't know if he'll be seriously considered, but
yeah, we don't know at this point.
We don't know anything.
Yeah, we don't even know. We don't have 100% that Rashard won't be retained. But I mean, on that side of the ball, Gus Bradley just signed an extension with San Diego, so he is off the table as an option at defensive coordinator, which opens up a whole other world of potentials. And I jokingly, but only half jokingly on Twitter, floated Cam Chancellor's name.
Right.
I mean, I think Cam Chancellor would be a great D-backs coach for whoever is the defensive coordinator. You know what I mean? He maintains that continuity. He's got the respect with the current Legion of Boom guys. We know he is the emotional rock of that unit. And we know, based on some whispers coming out, that the plan is not to trade Earl Thomas this offseason, given that the team doesn't have an in-house replacement they feel is ready to go at free safety. And the plan is also to most likely retain Richard Sherman as well. Where things are probably going to need to change is up front, where Michael Bennett, even though it's only limited cap relief, they continue to be rumors that he is out, which is crazy to me, given that he'd have $5 million of his $7 million dollar cap hit. It's dead money. Where I'm like, I don't know if that's really that helpful. But
right, exactly.
Whatever. I'm not making these calls.
Rumors that he's retweeted on Twitter.
Yeah, I know, it's wild. I'm like, what is happening? His contract doesn't like keep him one more year and then let him go to wherever he wants or retire or do whatever. News breaking from Condotta.
All right. As
it is thought that the Seahawks have told Cable to pursue other opportunities as well.
Hallelujah!
Oh, boy. I'm going to need confirmation on that, but oh, my. Wait, it's all happening,
fake,
folks.
Right?
And look, I just want to say this. Like, being a fan of the Pete Carroll era Seahawks, when you want something to happen, it usually happens when it comes to offseason nonsense, with the exception of the draft. The draft doesn't happen, but when it comes to like a trade for a guy, like they do end up getting Sheldon Richardson, they do end up getting Dwayne Brown, they do end up getting Percy Harvin, even if it blows up in their face. When it comes to free agents, they did end up getting Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill that offseason when we were like, man, I think they could maybe go get Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill. Like, when push comes to shove, Pete Carroll gives you what he wants, but he gives it to you in the most dramatic and weird ways, which I respect. I respect it. I respect that he made a sweat on this, but I respect that it all seems to be happening, and it's always the most interesting result. It's not always the best result, but it's always the most interesting result.
Right. I'm searching rampantly for confirmation about this.
Oh, wait, is this, do we just get Twitter faked out?
One thing about Seahawks Twitter, and I even partook in it last night, is people changing.
Well, there's a lot of chapsing that goes on. Uncle Chaps, for those of you who don't know, I think he's at Barstool now.
It's the worst. Anyways, yeah, Chaps is famous for portraying.
Oh no, there it is. It's in the article that Condotta published. Here, I'll read the quote verbatim so that we don't get too excited. A new OC would be given the ability to hire a new offensive line coach, and it's thought that the Seahawks have told Cable to pursue other opportunities as well. One source said it's not thought Cable is an option to become Seattle's offensive coordinator. So it's not confirmation that he's out, but it's confirmation that he's on his way out the door unless an offensive coordinator wants to retain him. Now, we talked about Dave Phillippe earlier. Dave Phillippe was the quarterback's coach under Tom Cable in Oakland. So, you know, there is in that situation, you know, maybe that's a negative on Dave Phillippe, is that he might try to retain his former boss. It also might be something where he doesn't do that because at that time, Tom Cable punched out his direct superior in a coach's meeting. So, you know, could go either way on that one.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, my initial reaction was, you know, praise the Lord, you know, we're so happy. But you know, at least we can rejoice in that the Seahawks are making positive strides.
This feels right. I mean, like, this all feels like it's what they are doing what they should be doing right now. This all feels right. I'm just going
to
say that.
Right, because we talked about how, you know, Pete Carroll was so reluctant maybe to let go of Cable in fear that, you know, he wouldn't land a job given his past. And, you know, we considered that, but it seems like they're making strides in the right direction. And forgive me for having the gardeners in the background. Usually we record earlier than this, but it is the emergency show. And
and let's just say to those of you who don't live in Southern California like Grant and I do, it is a gorgeous day here. We hadn't had rain in like 2 months. And after it rains in Southern California for the first time in a while, the sky turns blue again instead of that like shady khaki that it is when it doesn't rain. And it is lovely outside, so I'm glad your gardeners are there to you know, keep it clean.
Right, you know, it's necessary sometimes. That's all I'm gonna say about gardening. I think that we'll keep it to the Seahawks, and we'll get back to the rest of the show after this. We are back with Locked On Seahawks, Grant Goldberg, Spike Friedman, and Spike. We were mentioning this right as we got back on air, but you know, every defensive coach position, offensive coach position could be in question, but it seems like the one unit, arguably Seattle's worst unit all year in 2017, the special teams unit, they seem like they're intact. They haven't had any names come out, like their jobs could be in jeopardy, but like, what's up with that?
Yeah, I have genuinely no idea. I wonder if there's news breaking there or something in the near future. But special teams were really poor for the Seahawks this year. Now, mind you, there were significant injuries that affected that. You know, Cam is a big special teams contributor. DeAndre Elliott going down right before the season started as our number two gunner. Jeremy Lane in and out of the lineup all year. DJ Alexander in and out of the lineup all year. John Ryan, older, not as good at punting.
Dewey McDonald.
Dreadful. Dewey McDonald out of the lineup. I mean, we picked up, I feel like we kept picking up special teams guys and they kept going to IR.
Yeah, Deshaun Shedd didn't come back to the last game.
Yeah,
the second to last game.
So, I mean, as badly as injuries ravaged our defense, they ravaged our special teams even more. And then we know that kickers and punters, that aspect of special teams, really comes down to the individual more than the coach and the coordinator. Because the coordinator can't – they're not technique coaches. They are about getting that unit to gel. The kicker usually has their own technique coaches, or they self-teach, or, you know, they do that work in the off season. So you can't really hold Schneider responsible for the fact that Blair Walsh was dreadful directly. That said, 2 years in a row, we've brought in kickers who used to be really good at kicking from long distances and couldn't hit a 50-yarder. I mean, Hauschka and Walsh, so something is awry. Although the Hauschka stuff was related to the long snapper, which is related to the special teams coordinator. So I don't know. I'm back to square one on this.
It's a really weird
guys,
circle.
Guys, this is an emergency podcast. I don't have this ready to go.
We were not composed or ready to go on air at all. We floated the idea while I was in class this morning. And we figured, you know, it's probably a good idea to talk about this. Because we're doing this for you guys. We could talk amongst ourselves all we want, but... You know, we figured we'd let you guys in the conversation, and, you know, if you have any thoughts on this, you can always tweet at us, you can always, you know, leave your thoughts, comments, concerns in a review, but, like, we're accessible. You can join the conversation. We're very open on Twitter. We try to respond to everybody, so, yeah, go ahead and take advantage of that, because, you know, it's not a singular thing between Spike and I just to talk about. You guys can talk about whatever you want with us, really.
And again, I'm standing by Cam for DC, you know, got it. Cam for DC, why not?
I love that because, like, Cam Chancellor, he's been universally loved in Seattle's really weird sports Twitter. Like, Cam Chancellor, like, he's very popular in that, you know, he's the guy on the defense, like, the leader, I would say.
Yeah. And again, really, like, I was, like, half kidding about defensive coordinator, but really, he'd be a great defensive backs coach.
At least a coach in any capacity with the team.
Because I'm thinking about two other things. Is he evolved his tackling better than anybody? I mean, Sherman elevated his tackling from being a mediocre tackler when he came into the league to being one of the best of the position. But Chancellor evolved his tackling to meet the modern NFL standard, which means that we can bring in heavy hitters and have Cam teach them how to hit legally in the NFL. That's an incredibly valuable skill. Also, Cam does not have the body type, natural facility for coverage, and yet he had to bring a intelligence and scheme-based intelligence
exactly
to how he covered the field. And so he really does. And he was a former quarterback. I mean, everything lines up for him to be that sort of guy who can move into coaching, and I'd love to see it. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'd love to see him on the staff if he does retire.
Yeah,
he can get out from under a salary cap hit, and we can just pay him a ton of money to be here. Backs coach,
that'd be a selling point. We could pay him a lot of money to coach the team, but I said as a coach in any capacity because he was a quarterback, and there could be a quarterback's coach job opening up in the team. So, you know, who knows? Cam Chancellor, defensive coordinator, D-backs coach, quarterback's coach. The possibilities are nearly endless. As for this show, I think we have come to our end today.
Yeah.
There's really not a lot more to talk about because we don't have any new information. And with our luck, new information will come out right as we, you know, finish recording. But, you know, we've talked about all we can talk about. We've speculated on, you know, potential replacements for Darrell Bevell, the possibility of Tom Cable leaving the team finally. And, yeah, we've kind of covered all our bases. So we need you to cover yours in leaving a 5-star review on iTunes and leaving your Twitter handle in it to enter yourself to win a Pro Football Focus Edge membership. Get all the numbers. It's great. You can go on draft.com, play a draft, use the promo code LONFL for a free draft on your first visit. And I think that covers all your bases. You only have two bases to cover. We have a bunch.
We have so many bases, you guys.
Speaking of bases, I mean, like, this is going to help during the offseason and really help Mariners fans take their mind off the actual sport of baseball.
Man, don't come after the Mariners right now. The Mariners, look, they're one pitcher away from being competitive. They just need to go get one pitcher.
I feel like, you know, that's been like the past few off seasons.
It's been the past two, and then before that, they were five hitters away. But now, I mean, look, just one pitcher, that's easy.
Now, and I don't mean to come out the Mariners. I root for them just because of the association with Seattle. So, you know, go Mariners in the AL. But I think I need to sign off now. I'm getting off track. So for Lockdown Seahawks, the possibility of Tom Cable losing his job, I'm Greg Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also rooting for Tom Cable to lose his job, also signing off.
Yay, morality.